There is no neutral ground in life. We are either moving toward God or away from Him. So repent, believe, and return to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Holy Mass, the Blessed Apostle glories in his weakness, while our Lord in the Gospel of Luke speaks of the seed falling, of course, upon different kinds of soil, teaching us that the Word of God is always powerful, but its fruit depends entirely on the condition of the heart that receives it. And that heart becomes good soil only when it has been humbled, broken open, and made ready by repentance. Quote, for as he said, strength is made perfect in weakness. And the only the humble heart can truly hear, hold fast, and bear fruit in patience. St. Padre Pio, perhaps the greatest saint of our Capuchin order, and we have over 100 saints and blesseds in the order, perhaps the greatest saint of the 20th century in our order, St. Padre Pio famously used to say that in life we are either moving toward God or away from Him. But you and I live in a time when many, if not most, of our contemporaries are under the false impression that there is a third option today, neutral. You know, I'm spiritual, but not religious, right? Which is an interesting phrase and a perfect description of the devil himself. He is a fallen angel. He is 100% spiritual, hates religion. False religions, there are such things. There are poor souls who worship the devil himself. Corrupted religions, they kill people. The devil loves those. The devil is the definition of being spiritual, but not religious. And with this fascination of neutrality, to live in outside of both the divine law, the Bible, perhaps, and the natural law, more and more today, in some kind of secular utopia, which is an interesting word. Of course, it's Greek. It means nowhere. It's a mirage. It doesn't exist. As Padre Pio rightly observed, in life we are either consciously moving toward God or consciously or unconsciously away from Him. There is no neutral. And a soul, a family, a culture is always moving toward God or away from Him. In our country today, this Sunday morning, about 7% of our fellow American citizens are joining us this Sunday in any form of worship, Christian worship. Only about 7% of our country attends weekly Christian worship today. 7%. Less than a third of U.S. baptized Catholics regularly fulfill their moral obligation to attend Sunday Mass. And from recent studies, more than two-thirds baptized United States Catholics either never go to confession or go less than once a year. Two-thirds, more than two-thirds. And while the statistics, of course, in our beautiful traditional Catholic parishes may in many ways be different, we are certainly not unaffected by the wider culture, and our children are certainly not unaffected by it as they're growing up. John Adams, the second president of our country, famously said that our Constitution of the United States was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. The crisis going on in our culture today is clearly not primarily about politics. That's a symptom. It's not about economics. It is clearly a deeper problem. It is clearly a spiritual crisis. We are watching a culture decline because it believes in this illusion. Last week, I was in Peoria, Illinois, giving a retreat to a group of priests and nuns, and I had the privilege of being at the cathedral in Peoria and was able to pray at the body, the earthly remains of the venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen, perhaps the greatest preacher in the English language in the 20th century. And my immigrant Italian grandfather, who wouldn't darken the doorstep of a church, owned a bar and a restaurant in Ohio, and every Sunday morning he'd play Fulton Sheen in the bar. Okay, couldn't get him to go to church, but he touched the hearts of countless souls, Catholics, non-Catholics, practicing, fallen away alike. Tremendous voice. And Archbishop Sheen used to say, the more we give up on God, the more we give up on one another. How true. And he used to say this, that it is said that our country is suffering from intolerance. It is not, he said. Our country is suffering from tolerance. Tolerance of right and wrong. Truth and error, virtue and evil, Christ and chaos. Our country is not so nearly overrun with the bigoted as it is overrun, he said, with the broad-minded. When people abandon the practice of true religion, they do not become irreligious. They don't become neutral. They do not become secular. Cardinal Seurat of Guinea, Africa, not long ago said, when a culture gives up on Jesus Christ, it doesn't become neutral to religion, it returns to the patterns of paganism. They make a religion out of something else inevitably. Politics becomes a religion, money becomes a religion, sexual license, a religion. What St. Augustine called in the 4th century the libido dominandi. And we see the consequences of this all around us more and more today. Hatred, division, tribalism, and violence. Irrational violence. Illogical violence. In 1886, William Penn, great founder of the Commonwealth that I live in Pittsburgh, famously said that men must be governed by God or they will be ruled by tyrants. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said that a culture is always in danger when those who have never learned to obey are given the right to command. George Orwell, famous writer, observed that the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it hates those who speak it. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Today, truth is the new hate speech. We will clearly not be saved in the political realm or the economic realm, important as they are in their own proper sphere. The crisis we face, as I said, is not first political or economic. Clearly, it's a spiritual crisis. And that's why we're here. A traditional parish mission preached now in 3 days. Okay, so there's a lot that went into preparing for this, and I do hope you're able to come. A lot went into preparing. A traditional parish mission is not just a series of instructive sermons. It's a time of grace to return to the only place where renewal begins, in the heart, in the soul, in the mind. Tonight at 6 p.m., there'll be an opportunity for rosary together and an opportunity for confessions before the first mission sermon, directly after around 6:30. The greatest threat to holiness today, what the Greeks called the sin of acedia, what St. Thomas called apathy toward God, and the remedy. On Monday night, also 6 p.m., followed by a low mass that I'll celebrate, and the second mission sermon, Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry, How to Raise Faithful Catholics and Bring Back Those Who've Left the Practice of Their Faith. And then finally, on Tuesday, for the close of the traditional mission, we'll have the rosary and confessions at 6, followed by low mass, followed by the final mission sermon, The Solution, The Most Holy Eucharist, and The True Meaning of Forgiveness. The final sermon will conclude with the granting of the apostolic blessing, which imparts the plenary indulgence attached to participation in a parish mission. There will also be a reception on the final evening, Tuesday, after the final sermon, evening sponsored by the Confraternity of Christian Mothers. I brought with me first-class relics of St. Padre Pio and the American Blessed Capuchin Solanus Casey from the state of Wisconsin. And Father Solanus, of course, responsible for over 6,000 physical miracles during his life. Those relics will be available for veneration. This morning, I ask you to join me in a prayer for your parish, for this wonderful community, for its strengthening, especially in the families, in the root of a parish, in families, in relationships in families. I ask you to pray with me for the success of this spiritual effort that we're about to undertake. There is, of course, no neutral ground. We are, indeed, either moving toward God or away from Him. These days are an opportunity to turn again, to repent, to believe, and to claim the freedom that our Lord wants for us. O Mary, conceived without sin. O Mary, conceived without sin. O Mary, conceived without sin. Saint Stanislaus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.